Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 139 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here. How are you today?
In the flesh.
In the flesh,
Jason.
In real life. I know, yes. It's amazing. You've turned up.
I have.
So how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Your hair's looking amazing. It's longer than I remember it. You haven't
had it
cut.
Yes, it is quite long at the minute. No, I do like it longer, so I might just have a little trim and a little tidy up next time I go.
Okay, that's good. Mm. And it might get in the way during your workout, which you have planned for later on this week.
I'm planning that for Wednesday stroke Thursday.
Dave Caulfield's done the video. You've not had a chance to look at it this week,
no,
have you?
No, I've busy. Seen the pictures on my Facebook, so... Yeah. I'm going to have a little go at that. Is it quite long? It's only a few minutes long, isn't it?
It's about 10 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And you've got
you
to
do all of it.
Yes, and you've got to download an app to your phone and video it as well and put it as a response on YouTube. I think that would be good.
Oh, that would be nice.
JM Forrest, Forrest, search for me and you'll be able to find it on there.
I've got to find some 3D glasses, though, from somewhere, because I've only got those black ones.
You can watch it in 2D if you want to.
Oh, okay.
3D just makes it a bit more magical.
I thought that might be funny. Yes.
Yeah, it is. Well, there we go. Right, coming up on the show this week, we'll be talking to Jeff Tristram a little later on, artist and author. He's joining us on the phone. We have music.
I have an artiste. It's Tom Billington.
Mm-hmm. Some tunes from him and a natter on the way in a bit. And also we'll have a mystery guest as well, won't we, Zoe?
I'm looking forward to that, Jason. It's normally me that does a mystery guest.
Well, as it is, I don't know who it's going to be because I've had a late cancellation.
Right.
So we'll have somebody else.
You're just going
to
go through your little black book and pull somebody out in the hat.
We'll do it when the songs are on, okay?
Okay.
But first of all, we go live to Bristol where we find Rob Fletcher. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, sir. Yourself?
I'm all right, thank you. Now, we were planning to talk to you on Skype, but you're telling me there's rolling power cuts in Bristol. What's going on?
You've joined us in the dark ages tonight. We're completely without electricity. It's been going on all day, which has made work rather fun today.
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Are you totally in pitch black then? Have you just got a phone in one hand and nothing else?
Well, I'm holding the torch in my left hand, the phone in the right hand, so I'm sorted for the night.
That's quite amazing. But you would still then be able to read your magazine of choice, though, wouldn't you?
Of course I would, yeah. That's the great value of print, Jason.
So give us your full title again, because I can't remember it.
Editor of Print Monthly Magazine.
That's the one. Of course, sometime co-host in this parish. And yes. You've got some exciting new ventures taking place in Print Monthly. I know that sounds like I'm taking the mickey, but it is, isn't it?
Yeah, very soon we'll be launching our online TV channel, which has never been done by any other print magazine in the industry in the whole world. Mm. So it's going to be a world first for the print industry magazines.
Now,
yeah.
Tell us why you feel the need to do this, because you've got the printed medium, which is surely what everybody loves who works in printmaking.
Yeah, well, the idea behind it is because at the publishing company, we run two magazines. We run Print Monthly and Signlink. And we launched the Signlink TV channel a few months ago now just to see how it would work. And even though signage is also almost a printed media and a display media, everyone in their industry seemed to jump on the bandwagon completely and love the idea of being able to view news online as well as in the magazine, and especially in a video format. So we decided to ask printers what they would think of it as well. And because of the way the world's moving and obviously everything's going online now, going digital, and print's still moving along with it, we thought, why not try and take advantage of this new bonding technology and introduce our new TV channel onto it?
You just want to be a TV presenter, don't you?
Well, that's part of it as well, yeah.
And you're now going to be hosting your own television channel, basically, aren't you?
Pretty much so, yeah. The idea is we're going to do a weekly bulletin. Every Friday we're going to record it in our studio in the where we work for about a five-minute bulletin. And then we'll be going out to all exhibitions, filming what's going on there, loads of interviews. We'll be going out to printers, seeing what they're doing. All sorts of things, really. We've got loads of things in the pipeline for when it launches.
Mm. So it's over and above what the magazine is then? There'll be extra features online that perhaps people won't get in printed format?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we'll probably do things like extended interviews. Like, obviously, in magazines, you've restricted how much you can write and how much you can print. So we'll be like extended interviews and in-depth features and everything on there you could ask for, really.
Mm.
And when does it launch?
Good question. Well, we're currently building our new website for the magazine, which is also very exciting. That's in the final stages of production now, so hopefully this time next month it should be live.
Well, we do let us know when it is finally available online, because we'll be interested to see, because we always like to see what Zoe's wearing and describe her outfits.
We can see what you're wearing and we can have a look at your outfits.
So we can see what your dress sense is like in real life.
Yeah, if I could do a still fashion show, it'd be fantastic.
That'd be good. Yeah, and every time we do a link, different shirt. That'd be amusing as well.
Yeah, I could do that.
We will see what happens in the magical world of print monthly television. But it's going to be good. What else is going on? Have you been keeping busy other than that?
Today I just finished off my 7th edition of the magazine, which is crazy, thinking I've been here 7.5 months already.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't seem 5 minutes since I was up presenting the show.
It has flown by.
Yeah, it's been a crazy few months, but it's settled down nicely now and got into the running of things, and always on the lookout for what else I can be doing. I'm still writing for Kidderminster Harriers program, Cheltenham Town program, still do the odd blog when I get, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still keeping that side of my work in terms of sport, because that's really where I'd want to move to. But for the moment, I'm very happy where I am and enjoying it. So,
well, it's the sort of thing you can run in tandem, at least, isn't it? And it's good to have an outside interest, even if it is sort of within the same industry. And the TV career could suddenly burgeon and blossom after this.
From your little productions each week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we like to be a multimedia production company, and when I went to university and actually did broadcast journalism, so nothing really print based. But from the training I did in that, I've fallen straight into the print journalism side of it. And it's come as a second nature, really. So it's good to know that I can switch from broadcast to print that easily. So if I do want to move back into broadcast world, then that won't be so much of a problem.
Oh, good luck with that, as I say. Give us the web address for your magazine.
Our magazine is www.printmonthly.co.uk. And that's where you can find all the latest and greatest news from the print industry.
And if people do want to subscribe to your magazine, can they do so online?
They can. They can drop me an email and I can sort that for them. My email is editor@printmonthly.co.uk, or you can follow me and contact me on Twitter, which is Robert M. Fletcher, and just search that on Twitter and I should pop up my little smiling face.
And no doubt very soon holding a microphone with a little flag on it that says Print Monthly.
That's right, yeah.
And does Print Monthly have its own Twitter feed as well, tweeting out the latest news from the printing world?
It does, yeah. Well, I've got my personal editor one, which is Print Monthly Ed, or you can just simply search for Print Monthly and you'll find our live news feed on there, where we've got loads of different things going on the website every day.
Well, good as ever to talk to you, and continued success. And so do let us know as soon as you're live with your TV show, and we'll be watching
on
a regular
basis. Yes.
I will do, don't worry. Thanks so much for having me.
And if you want a presenter with long hair and big boots, then Zoe's happy to pop along and maybe help out and do some...
I'll do a few days down in Bristol.
I thought you were talking about yourself then, Jason, until you mentioned long hair.
Yeah.
Or any hair.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, behave, everybody. Speak to you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye.
So time to take our first track from our featured artist today. Who is?
It is Tom Billington.
And this is Winter Clothes.
Tell me everything you know about the time that we shared. We were so much younger than we feel now. You're the only one for whom I ever cared. Send me everything you have that tells me who I am or I once was. 'Cause time is playing twister with my memory. Things I thought that were, it seems they were not. And I walk on hot coals, along eggshell white walls, keep my secrets there. And it won't be long till summer comes, now that you're here in my arms. It won't till your winter clothes are hung up again. Hopefully, for a long, long time. Walk on hot coals, along eggshell white walls,
time has made spaghetti of my melodies. Threads tied to a cord in a sailor's knot. Summer comes, now that you're here in my arms. It won't be long till your winter clothes are hung up again.
That's Winter Clothes. And Tom, join us on the phone now. Hello, sir.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. I've just put the kids to bed. Left them to go to bed, at least.
Fingers crossed I'll let you do that. Do you have to sing them to sleep as well?
Occasionally. My eldest, who's three, is not too impressed with my singing.
Oh, okay. Well, we enjoyed that. I mean, that Winter Clothes, good tune. That was great. So what do you think the three-year-old doesn't like about it? It's not the tweenies. Is that the problem?
Kind of, yeah. I think it's just when I'm singing, he associates that as time I'm not playing cards with him.
Ah.
Oh.
Okay, I suppose there is that one. But not old enough to go to gigs with you yet either, are they?
Not quite, except I'm off on tour. I'm taking him with me on tour on the next tour. I'm taking both my kids and my wife with me, so... Should be quite interesting.
It'd be wrong to leave the wife at home, I think, at that point. She may not be impressed.
No. Well, my wife sings on the album, so she's going to be singing with us.
That's good.
Well, tell us a little bit about the album for starters, then, because you've got a very interesting vocal technique, and it's a sort of folk-based album that these tracks are coming from.
Yeah, my history is I was in a rock and roll band for many years. I spent my 20s kind of on tour and doing big shows, and we toured with the likes of the Killers and Razorlight and bands like that. And it was all very kind of tight trousers and posturing, which is fine, and I enjoyed it. But actually, my sort of main love is kind of Neil Young and Bob Dylan and bands like that and artists like that. And my father was a folk singer. Still is a folk singer. And I've always kind of written folk songs, and they just happen to get turned into big sort of pompous rock songs in my old band. Mm-hmm. So this now is a real kind of, for me, it's a return back to the raw element of the songs that I wrote in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it's using folk instruments and folk instrumentation and stuff, yeah.
So is this where it was originally started all those years ago before you was in your indie band, your rock band?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even throughout the indie band, they were the types of songs that I wrote, but when I brought them to the band, they turned into something else.
Yeah.
You know?
But the difference in sound, because, I mean, Brown Eyes Blue, one of your songs.
Oh, yes.
And I loved that tune.
Oh, right. God, that was a long time ago.
So Zoe and I both used to co-present on a student radio station many, many years ago, back when that was out. And that featured that featured heavily in the charts, I can tell you that much.
2001, I think. 2002, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Crikey. Time flies, eh?
Are we showing all our ages here talking about this?
Yeah, I think so. I think we are.
So this is your mature music, then?
Yeah, to a certain extent. It's now it's music that I do for my own benefit. You know, at no point in the making of or writing of this album have I ever really thought about anyone actually listening to it, which has been nice, because actually towards the end of being in a band, when there's all sorts of pressures and you're with a label and, you know, the management and all of those, and even the agent needs you to write certain songs. And by the end of it, I just didn't really know why I was writing or who I was thinking about when I was writing songs.
Mm. And I've heard that a lot with artists, that first time round, they're very much doing what the agents want them to do and the record label want them to do. And then second time round, it's for yourself and it's what you want to produce, and you've got your control over it, haven't you, because you're not tied down to anybody in particular.
Well, I think you have to go there to come back. Is my feeling on that. Is like, you know, we started off. It's funny. You start off writing for all the pure reasons. You know, when you're in a band and you're young and you just kind of write and it's stream of consciousness. You don't think about the, you know, you don't really think about audience. You just want to do it, and then you get involved, and it gets more, you know, more important to think about these things. And then you come out the other side and go, oh, I remember what it was that I liked about it in the first place, you know. And for me, it's catharsis. It's how I make sense of the world. That's what art is, I suppose, isn't it?
Where do you see your next album going then? Is it going to be more folk, or do you maybe a bit of an indie edge next time you decide to sit down in the studio? Or you don't even want to think about that yet?
Well, no, interestingly, this album has been written for a year, and I've written the next one as well. So I can't really keep up with myself at the moment, which is a bit of a funny thing. But when I left the old band, I stuck out and said, I'm going to make lots of music. You know, that's my mission. And I'm going to have a little label. I'm just going to chuck it out. And I'm just going to make lots of music because that's what I'm here to do. You know, that's what I really want to do. And I'm not too worried about, you know, this isn't about becoming famous or anything like that. It's just purely because I want to make lots of music in my time that I have here. And so I've just been writing and writing and writing and just trying to keep up with the recording and the releasing and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So the next record is, yes, it's more foot back in the indie door. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that one even more now. I'm enjoying this one, but as I say, I do like your indie stuff, and I enjoyed it when you were in Mohair as well. So that's well worth taking a listen to your work. As Luck Would Have It is released physically on the 26th of March via Daddy Max Records, but you can get it now if you want to buy it online, can't you?
You certainly can. Yeah, it came out today on iTunes and Spotify and Amazon.com and all of that kind of stuff.
And you can get your copy, sit back, have a listen, but do enjoy the tunes that we're bringing you now. Next one we're going to take is Devils in the Detail. I want to know a bit about both songs. First of all, Winter Clothes, tell us a bit about that one, and then head on to Devils in the Detail, which we're taking next.
Okay, well, Winter Clothes is one of the songs that my son does actually really like on this album. He now knows the first couple of words. I made a video to this last week when it snowed. He and I made some really excellent, if I do say so myself, snowmen. And we made a snowman band. So you should check out my videos on YouTube and things and through my website, and you can see our snowman band that we made.
Has it got your son in it as well?
It hasn't. No, I had to make it when he was having his nap.
Oh.
I was like, right, I've got an hour and a half. Like, what can I do? Like, camera, go. So he's not in it. But the song is always going to be the first song on the album. I wrote the riff when I was at Glastonbury last year. I had my banjo. I was busking with a group of bluegrass players, and and it just kind of grew that song. It's quite a longing song. And it's quite straight down the line in terms of, like, it's winter now and it will be summer, and therefore it will be better when it's summer. But let's enjoy the winter type thing.
Okay, moving swiftly on, because we've heard that one. Let's have a listen to Devils in the Detail. So a bit of a background to this one too, making you work.
Okay. Well, Devils in the Detail is very much a song about my discovery of having, I'd say, quite mild, but in my case, quite important, OCD. the line in it, and you'll hear it, is just that I like the way things look when they look the way I like. that line came to me when I realised that I'd moved the sofa like 6 times to get it just at the right angle.
Oh, I do that, though. I must admit.
And we all do it, and I think we all hit a point where we realise that it's okay to be like that.
Mm. See, I can tell when somebody's been sitting in my chair and they've moved it, because it just doesn't look right, and it has to go back to the right angle.
Well, this song's for you then.
Yes.
and does this actually, this track include any of the spontaneous contributions from friends and family that is
certainly
mentioned
does,
in the press
yeah.
release? Explain a bit about that for us.
Well, the whole album was recorded in 4 days. I've been really trying to kind of capture the essence of the live spirit of it. So all the lead vocals, all guitar, bass, drums and keyboards were all done in 4 days. And I took the album away with me on my hard drive, and I sort of sat on it for a few months, and then I started going round to friends of mine, round to their houses, and taking a few mics and, you know, just a laptop, and just grabbing whatever I could in the time that I had. And I know this really fabulous slide guitar player called Dave Williams. Everyone knows him as Wildleg round our way.
Okay.
But in fact, I sent the record to him and accidentally just wrote the word Wildleg and then his street name and then Watford. and I was going to fill in all the gaps, but I accidentally posted it to him, and it got there.
That is good.
I was quite amazed. But yeah, so he was one of the guys on this, and also the fiddle solo in this was one where I just turned up, and I happened to have half an hour, and I happened to have my stuff with me when I saw a good friend of mine called Anna Jenkins. So yeah, it's been very much kind of, you know, I added all the flavours on top of it afterwards.
Mm. Including the 36-piece female choir.
Yeah, well, that's on two other songs on the album. Yeah, I turned up at my mother's choir practice one Tuesday and said, guys, could you just sing this for me?
That's a cheap way of getting session musicians, isn't it? That works.
That is one way of doing it, yeah.
Tom, thank you for joining us. Give us all the web details and how people find you in iTunes and the like.
Okay, well, the best thing to do is go to www.tombillington.co.uk, and you can go to my Twitter feed from there, and Facebook, and all my YouTube videos, and all my iTunes links, and all of that kind of stuff.
Well worth doing, judging by what we're hearing so far. So let's take our second tune from Tom Billington, Devils in the Detail. Once again, thank you, sir, for joining us.
Thanks ever so much.
Thank you.
When it comes to order, my mind's a mess, I confess, on the inside, but outside, I like the way things look when they look the way I like. I like the way things look when they look the way I like. I like the way things look when they with your own sense of humor. My hair's a mess, I confess, all I want is to be noticed. But I like the way things look when they look the way I like. I like the way things look when they look the way I like.
pathetic when it comes to order, order. My mind's a mess, I confess, on the inside, but outside I like the way things look when they look the way I like. I like the way things look when they look the way I like.
Devils in the Detail there from Tom Billington. I enjoyed that one as well.
Yes, actually, that was lovely, wasn't it?
All good stuff. Right, to the phone lines we go once more, where we find an artist and an author in the shape of Jeff Tristram. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good evening. I'm fine, thank you.
Good. And a man who's got major envy of his brother's current success at the moment. Let's get this out of the way to begin with.
Yes,
so
I'm bitter and twisted.
tell us what your brother's like. Is your brother, he's called?
Well, my brother, David Tristram, my younger brother, by three and a half years. He's a comedy playwright and now a comedy filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And he's just posted this daft little clip on YouTube called Doreen's Story. And 2 weeks later, it's had 500,000 hits. Can you believe it?
So
if he fell down the flipping lavatory, he'd come up smelling nice.
You can't win. Mind you, I have been lucky enough to go and see one of his plays about 4 years ago.
You call that lucky?
I enjoyed it. I laughed at everything, and it was jolly good. The theatre on the steps over in Bridge North, that was brilliant.
Yeah, that's his little place.
But
yeah.
I do rather enjoy your work as well, Jeff.
Oh, thank you.
So let's introduce you to the world.
Right.
You've not been on our podcast before, so begin with when you were born.
1954.
Yes.
I was born one day after Hitler and one day before Spike Milligan.
Nice mix.
Well, I don't mean on the same day, but I mean the same, you know...
Calendar. Dates.
Yeah. I'm an interesting mix of both.
You can't really follow that. I think that's interview done, right? Okay. Now, you've done art since you were but a wee boy.
Since the age of four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was so good at drawing when I was at Quarrybonk Junior School that the teachers had to get me to draw for them on the blackboard because they couldn't draw as good as I could.
But that is really frightening because I don't get how people can do that, and you are an absolutely amazing artist. And
I know.
I'm so envious of that.
It's a natural, isn't it?
You can't help it. It's blimmin' annoying.
Everybody's different. The other man's grass and all that. I mean, I wish I could sing, you know. I've always been a musician and played the guitar and everything, but I can't sing to save my life. Or as my brother so eloquently put it, he said, it's not that you can't sing, Geoffrey, it's just that you sing in a way that doesn't give anyone any pleasure.
Perhaps you could give us a bit of a tune.
No,
But best not to. If he says he can't do it, he really can't do it.
Only with a guitar, not with my mouth.
Okay. Well, we haven't lined you up for that one today.
No, you're okay.
But some edited highlights. There is the sheep that you made at school for a school play.
Absolutely. It's the weirdest story. You know, weird coincidences follow me around like little lost puppies. You know, it's really strange. But I did a talk at Quarrybank Junior School, and this was a couple of years ago, and I said to the headmistress when I'd finished the talk, if you find an old plywood sheep anywhere in the school, it's the one I made when I was 10. And she said, do you really think we're going to find your flipping plywood sheep after 43 years? So anyway, I went home. And then when I got home, there was an answering machine message from the headmistress. And she said, Geoffrey, can you come back to the school? We've only gone and found your sheep. And after I left, she got a door of her office open and the caretaker was walking past with a plywood sheep under his arm. This is 10 minutes after I'd left the school.
Yeah.
And she said, "Ken, what are you doing? What's that?" And he said, "I found this plywood sheep under the stage, right at the back in all the cobwebs. I'm going to chuck it on the skip." And she said, "Oh, no, you're not. I know what that is."
have you got the sheep at home?
I've got the sheep at home, yes.
Whereabouts is it? Is it in your studio?
It's in my dark room in the studio,
yes. I can't remember if I've met it when I've been over to your studio.
I shed a manly tear when it was reunited with me after 43 years.
That's quite disturbing. And has it still got its seat? A full paint job and everything.
Oh, full paint job. It's beautiful. Oh, just out of interest as well, just talking about Quarry Bank Junior School, you know, they knocked it down because it's about 140 years old, so it was past its sell-by. They knocked it down and they built a brand new state-of-the-art, really posh one. And then there was this chap called Tim Tolkien, you know, as in Tolkien the writer.
Yeah.
Tolkien, I think it's pronounced. And he said... he rang me up the one day. I don't know him from Adam, you see. And he phoned me up and he said, I'm the great-grandson of Tolkien. And I live in Cradley Heath. And he's a metal artist, an artist in metal. And he was making the new fence and gates for the school. And it's a real swanky affair, you know, all sort of from the children's drawings, all sort of handmade and beautiful, not just an old set of gates. And he said, I wanted a strip of dialogue that goes right the way down the high street through these gates in Black Country dialect. And I don't do that kind of thing normally, but he said, the headmistress has recommended you. So I wrote this thing, and I'm going to be immortalised in Quarry Bonk forever now.
Because that's cool.
It's lovely, isn't it? And... at the end of the gates, it's one of these things, you know, where there's like a story twisting through a ribbon all the way down the high street. And at the end, it says, "Well, I've got to go now because I've run out of fence."
and just
at the very last panel, he's putting a little cartoon character with a plywood sheep under his arm.
Oh, that's cool. I've
been immortalised.
That's really good.
But you are a bit of a celebrity, because we've only slightly touched on stuff, because you write books, and the Tale of David Day, which involves a mention of plywood sheep, even though it's not completely autobiographical, that's available in a series of books. We'll come on to the books in a bit. You've done sketches on the BBC as part of World Snooker.
I did,
Of snooker players, and interviewed them at the same time.
I did. That's the best cure for constipation I've yet come across. you can talk and you can draw, but you can't do two at the same time, I found. I've been an artist professionally for 35 years this year. And I started to write comedy novels about 7 years ago. So I gradually started to turn into my younger brother, you know, and writing comedy. And the first one I ever did was A Nasty Bump on the Head, which is sort of autobiographical version. Well, you know.
Except for the bits of the story I won't spoil, which are just absolute madness and hilarious.
Yeah, well, I mean, the basic stuff's me, and then I just embroidered it a little bit. And I loved doing David Day so much. That was the character's name. It was David named after my brother, and Day... short for daydreamer, because that's where I used to be. And I loved it so much, I wrote 8 novels about David Day. So the first one is 10, and in the last one he's 48. And then I wrote 3 about a chap called Adam Eve, who's a struggling comedy writer. I wonder where I got him from. And
it's how you wish your brother was.
Oh, no. that's me, I'm afraid, again. And that's like a little trilogy of comedy books, and I'm quite proud of those, really.
Well, I've not read them yet.
Oh, they're even though I say so myself, ever so funny. Yeah. But the weird thing is, you know, when you haven't read one for about 4 years or something, and then you read it and you can't remember a blasted word of it. You know, it's like someone else wrote it, and then you can laugh at it because it's divorced from you. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it came from. It's almost like an exorcism, you know. It just comes out of your head and then you can't remember writing it.
As long as you think it's good, then you've done a good job on it.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if I didn't think it was funny, it wouldn't be fair to foist it on anyone else, would it, really? So...
But how many have you sold of A Nasty Bump on the Head now? Because there must be a fair few 100,000 copies of that.
How many? You exaggerate, sir. No, it's small time cottage industry stuff. But I mean, I've sold a good few thousand of the books, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 books or something. Which, I mean, to say there's no distribution, no advertising, no nothing. It's just word of mouth, really. People just sort of buy them because somebody told them, you know, a bit like David's viral advert on YouTube, you know, somebody's just told them about it or told someone who's told someone else, and then they sort of seek it out, you know.
Now, way, way back, about 3 years ago, we spent absolutely yonks converting A Nasty Bump on the Head, your first book, into an audio book, didn't we?
We did.
And I claim to fame, the bit that impresses me most is several copies were bought by Dudley Library, and you can probably still rent us out from Dudley Library.
Dudley Library bought a copy for, I don't know if it was every library in the borough, but they bought quite a few. And you can go in there now and listen to Jason live in the comfort of your own caravan with occasional voices from yours truly.
You do all the characterisation. And what we're looking at doing with that is I'm looking at putting that online over the next few weeks. And as a sort of a free sampler for people so they can get into your work, and you'll be able to get the whole 5 hours of the book.
Is it digital. That long?
It's 5 hours long, which meant there's about each hour took about 4 or 5 hours to edit.
Yes.
Because I discovered I couldn't say the word sixth.
I was just about to bring that up, and you've very graciously done it yourself. You see, our friend here is a very experienced radio speaker. He's got a lovely voice and everything, but he just can't say sixth to save his life.
I can't, but I've never had to. But
did you put an accent on, Jason?
I didn't do voice characterisation. No, that was all done by our man Jeff, you see.
Exactly.
He could as you.
I was just somebody reading a book, yeah. And it's interesting how you can tell from between the first chapter and chapter 27, I get better at reading books, it turns out.
Well, yes, it's the same as writing them, to be honest, because, you know, when people say his second book's better than his first one or whatever, well, with the first one I'd ever done, it was such a steep learning curve that they were saying, your second chapter's better than the first one, your 22nd chapter's better than the 20th one, you know, and then you have to go back to the start and make the first chapter as good as the last one, so it's like painting the fourth bridge.
And there were only so many re-edits I could do, to be fair. So
yeah, yeah.
You've got what you've got.
Is it still available, though,
it's going to be available to listen to online, probably in the next couple of weeks. I'll give you the full address for that one. And are you going to try and put a link on your website as well, aren't you, Mr. Tristram?
I would if I wasn't such a technophobe.
You're going to get somebody else to put a link on your website.
I know a man who can, yeah.
So that will follow. But on there it mentions all your other stuff on the website. Would give us the web address now.
Right, it's www.theusualthingy.com. Jeff with a G, G-E-O-F-F, Jeff Tristram, which is Trist Ram, .co.uk.
And it details a lot of your work on there, including stuff like mentioning your history, which involves doing something for the Trivial Pursuit as well, and chocolate oranges.
Oh, I've done all sorts, yeah. I mean, the thing is, a lot of my work's kind of well-known without me being well-known, so you can still go shopping in Tesco's and not be bothered, you know, but... I was bothered in Waitrose for 3 weeks after the snooker, though, because I was on the telly. So, yeah, fame at last.
I know. Well, once you've got a cartoon picture of you with a sheep in metalwork on the high street, it's going to be just as bad again, I'm sure.
The world will be my lobster.
Yes. But you do a load of corporate stuff as well, don't you? Because if people want Christmas cards, they'd even come to you for one of those, and they get a proper cartoon Christmas card.
Yeah, I used to do live caricatures at corporate events and things, where I packed that in last year. It was scrambling my head a little bit, but I still do sort of paintings for companies. So, to be honest, most of my work is for companies rather than individual characters. But it's sort of caricatures, cartoons, and serious fine art stuff as well.
Mm. We should have one done of the milk bar. That could be our Christmas 2012.
But he will charge
card.
Us. You realise that? There will be a large fee to go in the direction.
I'm sure he wouldn't.
I know what the milk bar is. It's the name of your show, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
How come you've got a sexy sort of assistant on your blog then, or whatever you call it?
Well, because
is that me, Jason? Oh, I can't remember doing a blog.
You've never seen her.
Well, it's not a blog. What's the word I'm looking for?
Podcast.
Podcast. That's it.
It looks like a blog online, but we're a team. We work on this together, and Zoe occasionally gets a guest.
Occasionally pop in.
When she remembers to turn up, and I just sit in the cupboard and talk to myself the rest of the time. Well, there we go. But what anything else coming up that we can mention at the moment? Obviously, the big thing is the books to be able to buy online.
Yes, absolutely. I do this will turn me into a kind of rock god for 70-year-old women, this next statement. Because I do lots of massive cartoon illustrations for Ravensburger jigsaw puzzles as well. Mm-hmm. And they're on the website if you want to look at those. But there's a certain thing about a certain age of woman, they have to do jigsaws. I've never understood it myself.
Don't you like a good jigsaw?
Well, you know, I'd rather paint one than make one, to be honest.
I suppose,
but I do these sort of mega cartoons. They're huge, great big affairs with like a million things going on, and they're called the Best of British. So we pick on things like, you know, the English High Street or the Garden Centre or the Country Pub or, you know, the beach at Scarborough or whatever.
And they get turned into puzzles.
They get turned into puzzles, but there's like, you know, all sorts happening.
Mm. Oh, that sounds good. I do like a good puzzle, I must admit, but I'm not a 17-year-old.
she is actually 17.
She's young for 70 there.
Well, no, she looks it, to be fair. But
well preserved.
No. But the
very
web,
naughty.
Yeah, anyway. The web address is www.jeff.tristram.co.uk. Yes, and you can find him there and all that he's doing. And I say probably next week I should be able to tell you the web address for the iTunes search thing for the book to be able to download and
Lovely.
Listen to and enjoy.
And if you don't laugh at my book, well, mine and Jason's book in this case, then there's something wrong with your mouth. That's all I can say.
Do you get a what's it out of it, a commission out of it, Jason, your voice on that?
We're doing this as a freebie, aren't we?
This is a freebie.
Yeah, but it's really to introduce people to the rest of his work. It's something we just did for fun, wasn't it, I suppose?
This is what we call a prat to catch a mackerel. I just thought of that.
That was very good.
Thank you.
You'll be copywriting it next. Jeff, always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm so sorry it's been... It's great, I love talking to you. And I'm so sorry that I hadn't harassed you for the last few years, but there we go, it's been a bit manic.
Well, you've been away for a couple of years, haven't you? But
here, there and everywhere
sounds
with
like
work,
you've been in prison,
yeah. He's out on that, what's it called, early release, isn't
it? Yes, thank you. I'd be interested to get your brother on at some point to talk about the other side of the Tristram family.
Yes, that would be good.
Maybe
yes.
Line him up for next week for us.
Yeah. I always publicise him freely, but he never seems to do it to me.
we'll put him to the test, see if he plugs you in any way next time round.
He'll probably deny all knowledge of me.
Who's he? No, I haven't got... No sibling of that name.
Yeah. I taught him everything he knows.
Really?
I taught him how to play the recorder when he was a little snotty kid, and he's not grateful.
We'll tell him that.
Yeah, he can do.
Lovely to speak to you, and I'll catch up with you again in the next...
You too. No.
I'll talk to you about the website and everything.
Is
okay.
She wearing a spangly sort of costume, your glamorous assistant? I'm just trying to trying to visualise what she
Not
looks
really.
Like.
No. I've got blonde hair, though.
Blonde hair.
You haven't got one of those
dyed.
Fluffy boots.
Blue cardigan. And Nivea,
oh, no, that does sound like a 70-year-old woman.
Have you got like one of those horrible bright nylon nightgowns, like pink?
What sort of podcast do you think this is?
Why do you like that, Jason?
No, I do nothing but that. I feel slightly sick now.
A scrutty old jumper with all those bobbles on.
that's exactly how she looks. You've got it now.
And a fag hanging out of her gob.
I haven't got the fag.
Right, can I go home now, then?
Yes, you back into care. Speak to you soon.
See you.
Cheers, Jeff. Thanks
Bye.
Bye. Right, let's take whilst we recover.
You're just laughing because he's insulted me, Jason.
Always out and never with. Right, let's take our third tune from Tom Billington. This is as perfect goes.
One, two, three, four. Barefaced, hard-nosed, snakes in your hair. Steel tongue, quick wit, spears in your stare. Well, something tells me I'm not the same as you. And someone say I don't even want. Hairline, cheekbones, and perfect skin. Dimples, chisel, immaculate grin. But something tells me I'm not the same as you. And someone says I should be more like you. I can't be you, I can't walking on air. But something tells me I'm not the same as you. And someone say I should be more like you. I'll disappear into nothing out on your ear. So tonight I will be on my way. Oh, with this face, this jawline, I'll be okay.
As perfect goes, Tom Billington. And now we go to the lines where hopefully, if his battery will last, we find Alex Carter. Hello.
How are you doing, Jason? You all right?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, someone pulled out on you again.
There was a last minute cancellation. Quickly ring Alex.
Have you heard our last interview?
Oh,
sorry, I'll try and keep it clean this time.
Behave. Oh, I don't know. Right, how's it going, sir? Because last time we spoke, you announced you were leaving Hollyoaks for the second time. What are you doing? Are you working at the minute?
I'm regretting that last decision. I'm just saying I'm actually working. It's so dumb when you're an actor and you're not working, isn't it? I'm even worse than that. I'm writing now as well, so I'm an out-of-work actor. I'm writer.
That's shocking. Double whammy,
but I'm actually writing for Hollyoaks.
Really?
Not that interesting to anyone but myself and my mum and dad, but yeah, it's quite interesting, yeah.
Which bit have you written?
Well, one of the episodes. It's not going to be out until, like, June time.
Oh, how exciting. So, let us know what's going to be happening then.
So is this part of...
You've got to sign a contract. You can't say anything.
It's all secret.
I tell all my mates.
Should it be your mates? But so what's happened then? How did you end up out of the series this time? Because I've never managed to see you in it, even though I've turned it on twice.
I won't bore you then. I just left to go to New York.
So
as you do.
You've left it open to maybe write yourself back in later on then?
I don't know. Never say never, do you?
can I just ask what that girl's doing back in it again? Who you went off to America with, or did she not go in the end?
No, you sound less informed than Jason.
No,
she didn't go. I bet there's only about 1% of the people listening to this that even care, isn't there? But no, she stayed. She stayed in.
Did she decide to stay in the end?
Yeah, it's quite disappointing for me from a personal point of view because my character was leaving to go to New York and it was quite exciting. But for me, I just had to go to Leeds.
bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, quite depressing. Yeah, the M62, and that was about it.
So, well, have you got much planned though, other than the writing? Is there any irons in the fire at the moment?
Yeah, it's all painfully dull. Like, I've got meetings with a channel next week about a comedy series. But I shouldn't really say this because you just set yourself up for a fall.
Well, only if you tell us what it is. Just the fact that something is fine, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah, but I've written in it. I'm in it. And the thing with TV, it takes like literally years for things to sort of get put on TV. You forget there's so many people that are responsible for making a decision, aren't they? You kind of you think it's quite a quick thing, but it takes years for something
to get
popped.
So in 2 years' time, when something new comes out with you in it, then we'll know we got it first.
If I've not thrown myself off the Humber Bridge, definitely.
How
are you getting on anyway out down there? You all right?
Oh, well, yeah, you know, I'm fine, keeping busy, keeping out of trouble. Zoe's been here, there and everywhere. In fact,
we've been very busy a couple of weeks.
As we mentioned earlier on, we've lining Zoe up to do a bit of a fitness workout regime, so maybe that could be another route through for you, if you to do your own fitness videos too.
Oh, crikey, you're making me feel sick even thinking about doing exercise, Jase.
Well, but if you've got nothing else going on...
A lot of people turn to that, don't they?
It worked for Anne Diamond, didn't it?
I don't think it was
that. She hasn't got Call of Duty, has she? She's not got Call of Duty. I've got a lot on my hands at the moment, killing Germans. That's about it.
Did you still keep in touch with all your celebrity mates from all these programmes, though? Are you still you're in with the Emmerdale gang still?
I do, yeah, you do, because they're just mates, aren't they, people that you've worked with? So it's quite interesting because some of them go on and they leave acting altogether, and then I've got another one who's Warren Brown, who I worked with on Hollyoaks 2 years ago, and he's now got his own series coming out on BBC One and things like that. You probably wouldn't know him unless you Googled him, but yeah, he's probably one of my best mates.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself watching what's going on with them on the programmes?
You do, but it's like anything, isn't it? You can do it better, or you think, aren't you? But it's like watching The Bastards last night, you just get a bit bitter. All of my out-of-work actor friends were just texting each other how bitter we were about, obviously, you know, The Bastards being on Sunday night, just gone.
Yeah, about who won and who should have won. And
why you weren't there.
This is amazing. This is like a therapy session. Can we just delete this and then can I analyse it afterwards? Crikey.
You can download it online, okay.
Yeah, you're going to drive me to a breakdown, a nervous breakdown, not a car one.
We better let you go because your battery may go at any time, we discovered before we started talking to you.
Yeah, sorry, it's the iPhone, innit? Rubbish.
But you say you've got a Hollyoaks episode on air in March.
I'll tell you what, I'll come back on and plug it. So then people will watch it, if that's all right.
Okay, that's good. Have you been booked to do any more? Is it just the one to see how the public reaction goes to it?
No, that's how it works. That's how it works. You kind of have a trial episode. So, yeah, I'll probably get fired from that if I'm not good enough. There's always Call of Duty, isn't there?
No, just to keep it. I move back into your mum and dad's and do that.
Don't joke about that.
Have you moved back in?
No, of course I have. I'm nearly 30. Come on. I've been living on the street before I did that.
Which do you prefer? You've done the acting and now you've done some writing, but which do you prefer, do you think?
Anything. I don't have a preference. As long as I don't have to get a proper job.
As long as you get paid.
Yeah, you don't care. It's just like life, isn't it? Different things are always good for you, aren't they? Stimulate you and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like a change. It's not panto.
Panto is going to come to you someday.
Oh, God, don't say that.
If you did do panto, which character would you prefer to be?
Dick. Always had a penchant for Dick.
Aren't they always women, though?
That's always women, yeah. All right, then, sorry. I don't know. King Rat.
That's a possibility, I suppose.
King Rat in Aladdin. Yeah.
You'd be a happy man. We'll line you up for that for next year. Alex, good to talk to you as ever. Thank you for joining us on at the last moment. You're always amusing.
Yeah, I'll speak to you in some of that.
And have you got a website or a Twitter feed or anything we can find you at these days?
I'm that bored recently, I'm thinking about getting into Twitter. Is it worth it?
Yeah, go on. I'm sure you'd be amusing.
Oh, cool. I'll give that a whirl and then I'll get myself in trouble.
Okay. Saying things you shouldn't about Hollyoaks future episodes.
Yeah, oh, my battery is good.
The service you called has cleared.
He's gone.
Service you called has cleared.
There we go. Alex was panicked. So about time we went to, then that is it for this week. Oh, it's been quite good fun, hasn't it?
Oh, it was funny.
It's all right. Is that right? We'll find out when that episode is on air at some time. And we will be back next week.
We will.
And we'll be back for episode 140 next week.
Hoorah.
So half an hour.
Bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.